Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Scruffy balls. Nerf Herder.
Scruffy Nerf Herder balls?
Yeah.
Damn it.
That works.
We got a thing now.
Come Tauntaun on. Balls.
Balls?
They're the balls that you can actually get into. You know what I'm saying?
Nice and
quite
warm.
Literally.
Nice and warm on the inside.
They smell great.
They fucking smell, yeah.
Have you seen Bill Hader's impression of a Tauntaun?
No.
It's really fucking funny. Google that shit.
Google that shit, yo.
A dying Tauntaun. Indeed.
Pretty much everything Bill Hader does is funny, so yes. I believe it.
It all leads back to Star Wars because Bill Hader is part of the new movie. We'll get to that.
Actually, no, it all leads back to Disney.
Well,
Mickey Mouse is just pulling that fucking cash lever.
For my past couple weeks, it really was. So welcome to the show. This is episode number 92 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Gary the Metal Geek, along with...
This is Dave.
And George Tripsis.
And we have our special movie reviewer co-host with us today, Justin from the Comical Podcast.
I'm not usually touted as a movie specialist, but sure.
I didn't say specialist, I said reviewer.
No one here is a specialist in any way.
So, okay, let's talk about the movie. Everything else can go away for now. We're going to talk about my trip to Vegas and Disneyland down the road, but the movie everybody's talking about, the new Chipmunks movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Let's do it.
The Chipmunks
go in
movie
right into it.
The one everyone wants to see.
Was it Shipwrecked or something?
No.
Oh, that was the last one.
This one was like the road trip.
The road trip. Oh.
God, the puns continue. Did you write this movie, Gary?
I wrote the movie. It's so punny. But no, okay. Let's talk about the other movie that people are really talking about. We've
Sisters?
All seen it. Sisters. Exactly. Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Ooh, Tina Fey. Okay, whatever.
She's Greek.
She's hot.
Yeah. But
she's old and hot. She was on, we watched Saturday Night Live last night. They were hosting it.
Oh, yeah? No, let's be serious. Actually, Star Wars, right? That's what we're actually talking about.
Episode 7?
Did that came out, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good.
I heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, just a little bit of marketing went into that.
A little bit of marketing.
Your oranges were telling you Star Wars was coming out.
Those BB-8 oranges were delicious.
I bought some deodorant this morning, and it said awaken your scent.
So, if you haven't seen it by now, we are going to spoil a little bit on the movie.
Not
a lot. We don't want to give away too much shit, but we want to have a nice, in-depth discussion on the movie while Justin is here. He's not going to be able to stay for the whole episode, and we're going to bring another special guest on later to talk about our trip.
You mean your trip, not our trip?
My trip.
Yeah.
I don't know about your trip. I mean, I don't know what you do on your weekends, but...
I can tell you later.
Okay. That's a good trip, isn't it? All right, so...
you've been warned, though, so...
Yeah, spoilers. You have been warned.
Spoilers for Star Wars.
If you haven't seen it by the time this comes out, which will be like Monday or Tuesday, what are you doing with your life?
Just kind of skip ahead, and we'll be done talking about it.
A weekend has gone by, so at least some spoilers are fair game at this point.
That's true. Even though the movie was spoiled for me, when I wasn't even in town yet, I was like, okay, it was like 2 days before the movie came out. I'm like, really? It was a review too. I was like just scrolling through Facebook, which was a bad fucking idea.
Yeah, I was social media dead for 3 days.
I should have been.
Well, apparently the whole script went up on Reddit like the day before the movie came out.
Wow.
Yeah, like the entire script.
Was it a legit script or?
Apparently. I never went seeking it out because I wanted to watch the movie, but apparently it was out there.
Interesting.
I would not have. Did you see, by the way, Deadpool leaked a page from the script today and he wrote all over it?
Yeah.
It was funny. Part of the 12 days of Deadpool?
They're counting down to Christmas Day where they release the actual new trailer.
Yeah.
So
Did you see the teaser
trailer
for the new trailer?
Yeah.
Where he's like drinking is it hot cocoa, I think?
I think it's hot cocoa.
Yeah.
I got to find a theater where they have the big Deadpool display.
The
one by my house has it.
Yeah, so does
that you sit in his lap.
I was about to say Edward's Marquee has it, I think.
Somebody posted on Facebook today. I don't think it was a person who did it, but they posted a picture of that Deadpool standee. The girl's like giving fellatio to it.
Yeah, I saw that on Reddit.
That's funny.
I'm a Redditor.
I can tell.
Oh, yeah.
You read it on Reddit.
I read it on Reddit. The front page of the internet.
It is.
I, too, occasionally visit that site.
It's only one of the most popular websites in the world. It's like saying I only use Google to search. No shit.
I used to visit Something Awful, but no longer.
Is it Cheeseburger?
Still have an account there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do too.
At what?
Something Awful.
Oh, is that what you're talking about? I didn't know that was an actual name of a website.
Yeah. So it was
like the predecessor to Reddit.
Yes, it was.
I didn't know that.
So before all of the memes came from Reddit, all of the memes used to come from Something Awful.
Pretty much.
I thought everything came from 4chan. I guess I'm just...
It was Something Awful in 4chan.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Star Wars.
Star Wars, Episode 7,
Jar Jar Binks did everything.
It is not Something Awful.
It is not.
No, okay. I thoroughly enjoyed Star Wars.
I'm going to play a little bit of a...
You're going to play the asshole in this role?
Yeah, I might have to play the asshole a little bit.
Okay.
I've only seen it once. I'm going to go back and see it again this week sometime.
I think everyone here has only seen it once, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I felt it was too much plot style like A New Hope. It wasn't original enough for me.
Yes and no.
But I'm not saying that it's a bad thing either. I'm very conflicted how I feel about this movie. I liked it. I loved it because it was a Star Wars movie. It was very Star Warsy.
Mm-hmm.
But there was stuff I'm like, really? They went there? Is this?
What I liked about it is that they took Empire Strikes Back storyline and A New Hope and mushed it together and gave it a fresh look to it. And it was a good reintroduction to Star Wars, especially for new fans who have no idea what Star Wars is.
They did a great job of introducing the new characters while still having the classic characters involved
in the
movie.
And they did a lot of callbacks to the original movies, which I thought was great.
Yeah. A lot of characters from the original movies are in this. Greg Grunberg was in it, which is weird.
Who the fuck's that?
He was on Heroes. It's basically J.J. Abrams' best friend.
That's right. The guy chubby
with the
beard.
The chubby new guy Porkins.
But he didn't die in this one, did he?
He's Porkins now.
No, he didn't die.
Yeah, the Porkins didn't get killed in this one.
He almost didn't fit in that X-Wing, though.
I know. New Porkins, like I said, with a beard. So, he's better, though. He has a beard.
New and improved.
I only got two.
Porkins,
like
Porkins had a beard, didn't he?
No.
Yeah.
I think Porkins did have a beard.
He just had a really fat chin, like neck beard.
Maybe I just don't remember right.
He's like, I'm getting blown up.
Apparently, the story I've heard about the guy who played Porkins, he wanted that character name to be called Porkins. Yeah. There was some documentary about him. Somebody was telling me about him.
I was telling you about it because we were looking it up because it'd be really cool if somebody did a documentary about the guy who played Porkins because nobody knows anything about him. But apparently, he was in a ton of movies that were really popular back then. He was in Indiana Jones. He was in Back to the Future.
Who the fuck did he play in Indiana Jones?
The thing is,
he was the big rolling ball.
That's fucked
every
up.
Every single character he had a name that had something to do with like food
or being fat.
Like he had a guy that was named Eaton. Guy that was
Porkins. He had significant facial.
He did. You got me.
I win again.
But yeah, I mean he's a pretty interesting guy. If you ever get a chance to look him up on the internet, he was like a very successful guy, made a ton of money, and then just quit his job one day to go be a movie star. Yeah. Did a bunch of bit part roles that need to really make cash.
He's gone now, right?
Yeah, he passed away.
Did he blow up?
Too much pork?
No, I pinned. Must be.
Wow. Pork rinds, yo.
All right, so let's talk about the characters that have returned in this movie, right?
So C-3PO.
C-3PO was, okay, that was very weird. He was like very underused.
You know what? After with the way they hammered you over the head with him in the prequels, they needed to pull
to
back.
Undersell him a little bit.
They really pulled back on R2-D2 as well.
Yeah.
That's what really
was sad. That was sad, though.
That was what really upset me. That was two things that really upset me in this movie. The R2-D2, like, the explanation, like, oh, ever since Luke Skywalker disappeared, he just got really sad and stopped working.
What? He missed his master.
No, dude, that didn't make sense. Sorry. And then all of a sudden, he started working at the end of the movie.
I think it was more logical that he was just dormant until that other piece showed up.
Yeah, right? That he was following some kind of order or programming. Yeah. I think that was intentional.
When the BB-8 droid showed up with the map, the directions to find Luke. I think that's what
triggered him to reawaken. Yeah.
I just wish it would have been like something a little bit more, I don't know, more so analog.
The movie should have been called the R2-D2 Unit Awakens.
Technically, he did awaken.
He did.
And then did anyone else think like Poe was like a little one-dimensional of a character?
I think they're going to explain. Here's a lot of the new characters. They didn't have a lot of time to get really in-depth with the character.
It was a 2.5-hour movie.
But still,
but I mean, most of it was taken up with Han Solo scenes and Chewbacca.
Yeah, that's true. Han Solo is a very main figure of this
Captain
movie.
Captain Phasma and Poe are probably the two characters that didn't get used as much.
And we want to know more about
them. I was really expecting more from Captain Phasma.
Me too.
She only had, like, what, 3 minutes of screen time or something? Yeah.
They're both really interesting characters, and they just didn't get explored. I'm sure we'll see more of them in the future. Yes,
I totally loved Finn yelling at her. He's like, I'm in charge now. I really wanted him to say, I'm the captain now, is what I wanted him to say.
After like the opening scene of the movie, I didn't think I was going to like the Poe character.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, I was like really rooting for him. And I was like, yeah, this guy's cool. I like this character.
I think he's cool. I just kind of thought his direction was really one-dimensional.
He is, but I'm interested to see what they do with him now.
I know that his parents like bumped uglies during the Battle of Endor, and that's how he came out.
That's the that series, the
Shattered Empire.
There you go, the comic book series. Mm-hmm. That's the story of his parents actually getting together during
bumping uglies
in Endor. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
which is a good. It's like a four issue. Series, it's good. It's a good fun read.
The actor who played him, I don't know.
Oscar Isaac. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
He also plays Apocalypse.
That's right, he does. That is Apocalypse.
Yeah. And that was another trailer that was in front of the Star Wars movie. We'll
talk about the trailers later.
Yeah,
because we all saw different trailers.
Yeah. He apparently said in an interview that when he first signed on for the movie, he was supposed to not come back.
Oh, like blow up and die?
Uh-huh.
That kind of makes sense because he kind of disappears for a long while. And then he just comes back out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It did seem a little too, like, lucky that he survived the crash. And
his explanation for it, too, was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I was ejected from the plane far, far away. I was like, was Finn. What's up with that?
Right.
He was originally supposed to not come back.
Oh, okay.
And I guess he... Like, he was really excited to get the part, and then he talked to J.J. Abrams and found out that it was going to be a very short part. He was kind of bummed about it, but he was trying to, like, you know, it's okay. I still get to be in a Star Wars movie. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So he begged J.J. giving him special favors.
And he said that, like, he got back home, and he got a message from J.J. Abrams. He was like, I figured out how I want to work you back in, and so you're going to be in the whole thing. And so
that's what she said.
Yeah.
So how big did everyone's smile get when y'all first saw the Millennium Falcon on screen?
So much.
I was freaking out.
Honestly, I look like the Joker. I was still thinking about that first scene. That first time you see Kylo Ren use powers you have not seen before.
Oh, that was amazing.
That stuck in my head for about 20 minutes. Like, I couldn't get it out of my head.
So
the Millennium Falcon came on the screen, and I was like, oh, that's cool. It's the Millennium Falcon. Holy shit. I'm still thinking about Kylo Ren.
Okay, let's talk about Kylo Ren real quick. What do you think of that? What do you think of the character itself as a villain?
I think he's great.
I love it.
He's everything what Anakin is supposed to be from the prequels.
What do you think of the actor portraying him?
I like Adam Driver.
I know. I think he's
a lot better with the mask on.
I agree.
his voice with the mask on is awesome.
Yeah. I like the way they went there.
They did a really good job with that.
But I really do like the angry teenager approach.
Well, he's just so unsure of himself. Every move he makes, he questions, and he can't control his anger yet. I mean, the anger is the one thing that made him turn into the Sith or whatever you want to call him now, but he doesn't have control over it, which is why he lashes out and does all the crazy destructive things he does. Yeah, he throws giant temper tantrums, which
I love.
Does.
That.
Yeah, he does.
Have you ever watched the show Girls?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. It's not for everybody. It can get really frustrating to watch at times, but he's the boyfriend of the main girl on that show.
Leah Dunham.
And he's so weird. And when I found out he got cast as Kylo Ren, it didn't make any sense to me.
Well, yeah, okay, go on.
But the more I thought about it, and after I finally saw him on screen lashing out and doing all these things where he's very unsure of himself, it made perfect sense why he got picked for that role. And I really feel like he's the Anakin we didn't get.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, I feel like that's what Hayden Christensen should have been.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Yeah.
He was very emo, Hayden, but...
I don't think he was emo, though.
He wasn't even emo.
He was conflicted. Like, he wanted
No. Anakin was.
Yeah, Anakin was...
I just think he didn't know how to portray what he needed to be.
Yeah, that's how
and
I felt,
he was
too.
To have really bad direction from George Lucas on that.
And he was trying to take that character a step further from where... Mark Hamill played him as a young teenager.
Right.
That was sort of whiny about everything.
But Luke in general was very like, wide-eyed and like, oh my god, I'm going on a space adventure. Like, he was so excited.
Well, that fits the time when that movie came out, though.
Anakin didn't have that. No. And I think that Kylo kind of does. Like, he's excited. He's still excited about life.
But his real name is Ben, right?
He still hasn't figured out everything.
Who?
His real name is Ben?
Ben. Yeah. That's right. They said it one time in the movie.
Yeah,
Ben.
So is that like, did they name him after Obi-Wan?
Yes. That's, yeah.
That's what I took from it.
That's what I took from it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Kylo Ren reminded me of like Dark Helmet. Yeah, I had that same feeling from the character. I don't know why.
Dude, but that opening sequence where he freezes the blaster and it just stays frozen for that long.
And he has an entire conversation and then he gets back on the ship, gets a couple hundred feet away and then it blows up.
Yeah, I know.
I was sitting there and I was just like,
that was cool.
That just goes to show you that his power is really like, Not only can he not control it, but it's like very powerful.
It seems like every next generation of that lineage
getting stronger just gets stronger
and stronger as it goes on.
And we have better special effects.
A lot of lens flares in that scene.
Well, we saw a few force powers from him that we haven't really seen in the main cinematic universe yet.
Like, I don't remember anything else.
Well, like he was pulling memories out of people's heads.
He was reading their thoughts.
I didn't catch that when I saw that.
That's what he was doing when he interrogated people.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why he was interrogating Rey to find the map. That's why he said, we don't need it anymore. We have her. Oh. She's seen the map.
Okay. And that's how he got the information out of Poe and all that.
I didn't put two and two together for some reason. I don't know.
You were just so wrapped up in the moment.
I guess. I don't know. Okay. That's something I'll have to look forward to when I watch it again.
Yeah. I mean,
there's so much going on. You're just like, huh? I know everybody here, everybody listening, a few times during you watch the movie, you're like, holy fuck, I'm watching a new Star Wars movie. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did everyone like see the mania in the in their movie theater? Like they were selling like memorabilia, like the world premiere of Star Wars in the movie theater. Yeah. At least the one I went to.
Not where I went
to. They had like ticket holders you can buy for like $60.
God.
The dude fell asleep.
It had like the date on
it. A dude fell asleep in our theater.
There's only six other people in the theater I went to. That's crazy. So
I don't believe
ridiculous.
That.
I posted a picture.
There's a dude in our theater, like two rows ahead of us, that like fell asleep. And there's a couple parts in the movie where I got like quiet for a second. You hear snoring really bad. People started laughing and clapping to try to wake him up. Hey! That's pretty funny.
You're missing.
That was right before it started.
Dude, that's crazy.
Let's see.
There's hardly anyone in that theater.
The lights had just gone down and it was just about to start. There's me and like you can see two people behind me, and there was two other guys sitting on the road here and two other people on that road over there, and there was like, that was it, eight people.
Wow.
At the 8:30 show on the opening night.
But I really do like Kylo Ren as a villain, and I like how unstable he is, and I do love that he's a offspring of Han Solo.
Yeah.
I think that's something they pulled from the original books, and I like that.
Well, the Jaden and Jason were the twins.
Yeah, but they just kind of merged it into one child.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
well, maybe. I mean,
well, yeah, maybe. As far as we know, we don't really know. We don't know anything about Rey.
Yeah,
I have my suspicions.
So, what do we think?
Rey is Luke's daughter.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I don't think she is.
That's the obvious answer.
It's obvious.
But it is obvious.
Luke and C-3PO got together.
I think. She was supposed to be a student of Luke's, and when that shit went down with Kylo Ren, he abandoned her on Jakku.
Luke did?
Yeah.
Like, she was the last of
one of the students that she was supposed to be his pupil, and he managed to save her.
So he pulled a Ben, what Ben and was watching
It would be the good synergy that Star Wars always tries to use.
Yeah. So they should have made it a whole lot better than her being his daughter.
Yeah.
So Luke should have been on Jakku the whole time, watching over her.
Yeah, except he went into hiding to keep, I don't know. They don't really explain his whole
why did he go
into
hiding?
So
because
bad or so well.
Well, he found the first Jedi Temple, which is
somewhere in Ireland.
I'm assuming what the people are looking for is not necessarily Luke, but they're looking for the first Jedi Temple, and they know that he's there and he knows where it is.
And that makes me believe that Snoke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, has to do something with the original Order of the Sith.
Yeah. That is a...
Which I
There's
need
not
I need,
much about that character.
Yeah,
known
I
at
need
all.
To know more information. Like, how does that even play in part with Palpatine or
he could
what?
Have been, he could have been
with
Palpatine's pupil that he was
Snoke
training,
or Snoke
because he knew Vader was going to fail or something.
Was it Snoke or Snoke?
Snoke.
Snoke.
Grant. What they called him?
He doesn't debunk things on the internet.
Right. He should. He's big.
But yeah, that's who I think Rey is. I think
that's Andy Serkis too.
Yeah, I really do think Rey is supposed to be like one of his pupils, and that's why we see the little flashback scenes of her parents flying away or whatever.
That actually makes sense now. Okay.
And that's my opinion.
So that flashback scene, totally wrong, that flashback scene when she picks up Luke's lightsaber, I was just reading an article tell you about from J.J. Abrams said that they actually, you know, they got Ewan McGregor to come back in to re-record Obi-Wan. And
really?
You hear the voices, and they also got Frank Oz to come in and do Yoda.
No shit.
And then they actually were able to pull one original line of dialogue from Alec Guinness to play in that part.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you go, when you watch it again, listen to that part where she's like, you know, having that dream.
Mm-hmm.
You actually can hear their voices.
So I liked what they did with Force Awakens. They try to do what New Hope did, was leave you asking more questions and actually giving you answers.
Mm-hmm.
Good cliffhanger.
I did like that portion.
I'm not gonna talk anything about the spoiling of the ending, but that shot they did, that circle crane shot,
took forever.
I did not like that. I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm like, just hand him the fucking lightsaber already.
Well, the other thing is that pretty much every Star Wars movie has ended with a celebration.
Yeah.
Like, the last scene is always
with the exception of Empire.
The exception of Empire.
Yeah.
But
well, they were having a party around
the first one in every trilogy.
Han Solo being
the first
frozen.
One in the first two trilogies both had parties.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this one doesn't have that event.
Well, that's why I say I really do think it's a perfect marriage.
It was just
an abrupt ending.
It would have ended better if they had cut out the scene with her going to find Luke. The movie would have ended better.
I think so too.
But I feel like they had to have that scene in there somewhere, and there just wasn't another place to put it.
There's no Luke to be found in the movie, and it would be really fucked up to end that movie with no Luke in it.
And I feel like as well that because like I see your point about, you know, that you end at the celebration, and there is the celebration, but the celebration is very bittersweet.
Yeah.
In this, it's not.
Yeah, because we lose our hero.
It's not the big, you know, joyous event. It's not the big we won. Mm. It's we barely made it through that, and we lost a lot.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, then it's kind of wrong to end there.
Well,
and the way that it ends where it does, now you have that, like, hope. You have, like, that kind of glimmer of hope.
But, I mean, just losing the main people that we lost.
You can just say it, right? Because this is totally spoilers. Spoilers, everybody. Fucking Han Solo dies.
Okay.
All
wait,
right?
What? I didn't catch that.
Han Solo.
Well, you really weren't paying attention.
Carrie went to the bathroom.
Well, you got spoiled twice then. I don't know what to tell you.
The second half of the movie sucks. Han Solo's not anywhere. What happened?
Where did he go? He was just here a minute ago.
Although, I mean, I totally saw it coming, especially that part where Leia says, "Don't come home without our son." Yeah. I was like, "Man, he's fucking gone." When he
stepped out on the bridge, I was like, "Okay."
We knew somebody was going to die.
Is there no handrails anywhere in the future?
I kind of thought it was going to be Chewie and not Han that died, but
I thought so too for a little bit.
So, what do you think about the decision to do that? I think
that was the only way Harrison Ford would have came back.
Yes, I
think
agree.
So too.
He wanted his character to die back in Empire.
He did.
Yeah.
They weren't sure they were going to have him for Return of the Jedi, which is why they froze him in carbonite at the end of the movie.
Exactly.
So I feel like I feel like this, like, Harrison Ford wanted it for ages, and it was the only way that he would do this movie.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I think it was the right story move to make at this point because it
made sense
because I didn't feel that way when it happened. I was like, this is bullshit.
And why would you kill her?
Yeah, but after thinking about it, I'm like, this is the right move to make because these movies aren't about the characters we already know.
Right.
These movies are about these new characters,
which I'm totally in love with, like Rey and Finn. I think their relationship is
awesome. I've loved Finn.
Remember everybody's
big deal.
That was great.
Everybody's rumor about Finn before the movie came out. Like, oh, it's Lando's kid.
Yeah.
Anybody was saying that's a complete idiot.
Yeah.
Like, is it because he's black?
There's only one black guy in the entire Star Wars universe, and he fathered the one black child. Right. I mean, really,
it's totally possible. Hey, they had a black
coming from a Disney movie. I'm sorry.
They had a black fighter pilot.
It's not Song of the South.
I remember that in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, they had a black fighter pilot.
Was
it
A-wing pilot?
I can't remember what was his name.
Male or the male?
Yeah, it was a male.
So if it were the female, it would have been Finn's mom.
You know, they did say he was taken as a baby. So.
That's right. Yeah, he sweats a lot.
But no, I really like the
PTSD approach they went with him. I really like that. And that was the first time I actually really saw blood in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah. Well, that whole first action sequence there, I was like, this is pretty gritty.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
Spoiler, well, stormtroopers die.
I almost thought that when Finn was explaining himself at some point, he wasn't just going to be like, I've seen some things. You know, I thought he was going to be like, I lost a friend. Like, the first stormtrooper who dies, who gets the bloody smear on his helmet, the way he reacts, it didn't seem like, oh, that was just another stormtrooper. Like, oh, there's death. Oh, my God, I wasn't expecting
that. Well, that was his first outing on a real battlefield.
It seemed more like he lost somebody he cared about, which is kind of the way I thought they were going to go with it, but they didn't.
It was just that... It's like he's been training for this his entire life, but never saw what it was he was doing until that moment.
And yeah,
because he talked like that. That's what I got too.
That's how
that was his first field
outing, yeah.
First event in the field, and he's like, "What are we even doing?"
I loved how Kylo Ren's like knew his number right off the bat just by looking at him. I was like, "Dude, that's awesome."
He knew that he was going to be a problem.
Yeah,
because
you also saw Ren freeze people in place, which nobody'd really done before.
Right.
On screen either.
Yeah.
More force powers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the force power is kind of evolving. I mean, because they kind of have to with the new movies.
Well, I mean, you've seen a lot of stuff in games and other places. I mean, there are a lot of things you can do with the force. I mean, force lightning, when it happened, was such a mind-bending thing because all we'd ever seen before is, like, you can move some shit. And,
like, rocks move from here to there.
You kind of predict where laser blasts are going to go.
Yoda can move some damn rocks.
and X-Wing.
That's right.
But... seeing them use it in creative and interesting ways, like I'm looking forward to more of that
in
totally.
The upcoming movies.
Rian Johnson will have some good Force stuff to work with.
I can't wait to see like Rian Johnson's version of Star Wars.
It's gonna have like Looper stuff in it.
Yeah, totally. I really hope he takes a noir approach like he's done with all his previous films.
I don't know. He might. I think he put his own style to it, but he'll still have it close to the Star Wars motif.
Speaking of like certain director styles, can we talk about the most non-Star Wars moment in the new Star Wars with the fucking aliens breaking loose and killing everybody?
Oh yeah.
like all right, this is something he totally used in Star Trek. He's like, yeah, that worked in Star Trek, let's do it again.
Had the guys from the raid in that scene.
Oh, that was awesome. I wigged out. I even said it during the movie and everyone was like, shut up.
I mean, it added some comedy.
Oh, totally. It was fun, but I was
My favorite comedic moment is, speaking of Kylo Ren, is when he was having a temper tantrum. There's two stormtroopers walking down the hallway.
They sort of went,
yeah, we're not going to go that way.
The other stormtrooper puts his hands out and stops and is like, wait a minute, bro. let's go the other way.
I like when the other guy came in to give him bad news and he pulls out the lightsaber and you can see the guy's just like sweating like he's going to die.
He's like, fuck,
just
turns
around and just fucks up the console. And he does it for like 3 minutes and he stops and he's like, is that all?
Was there
well, I really don't want to say this, but there's more.
It was a lot of fun, man. The movie undeniably is a great fun movie. Yes, the plot's a little reused and like, fuck, we've done this before.
But that's okay, it's Star Wars.
It's exactly, yeah. I mean, they did the same thing with Return of the Jedi as exactly from A New Hope.
It doesn't work with every franchise. Like, Avengers tried to do it. Avengers Age of Ultron is basically the same plot as Avengers. And it sucked.
Now we have the third Death Star going on. Nobody really talks about that.
Oh, how about that? Starkiller Base?
Yeah.
Like, when it fired, I mean, up until that point, I was like, okay, it looks pretty cool. And they fired it, and I was like, okay, so it's just like a long-range Death Star. But then it split off.
And it killed multiple planets.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know.
I guess it was like maybe a Neil deGrasse Tyson kind of moment. Because I didn't get when they fired it off the first time, I don't guess they had explained yet where it was drawing its power from.
They hadn't.
From the sun.
And so,
it eats suns and then it moves on to the next.
That's why it's a star killer, because actually consumes a star to fire.
And that's why.
And so when that happens at the end, I'm like, this is stupid, because you would completely fuck up solar systems. Like, you're destroying entire systems of planets and stuff. Like, and not just in the way they intend. It's like, you're really fucking things up on a cosmic level by using this device.
I don't think they cared.
What's the other general in the Empire? The guy from Harry Potter.
Irish kid.
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to be a very good character, but he was.
I totally
evil.
Get. I love the tension that he has between him and Kylo Ren. I'm like, bitch, I'm better than you.
I like
because you got force powers doesn't mean
just
shit.
Because you're wearing that fucking costume don't mean shit.
Exactly.
He's like
not frightened of your sorcerer's ways.
That scene. That
thing. Like Hitler. That scene with everybody standing there.
Oh my god, that scene where he was like
giving the
screaming.
Speech.
Yeah.
That was a very fucking
World War. This at the end, I was like, he's fucking Hitler.
It was a World War II fucking moment that
Well,
these guys are
Star Wars is
deranged and crazy, and they're going to destroy everything.
Well, Star Wars is based on World War II, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, George Lucas has never been shy about admitting that. Like, every reference is from World War II. Hence the Empire.
Well, all the way down to the shots that they used for like the air combat, mm-hmm. like all that stuff, right. Even.
It's all World War II style air combat.
Yeah, yeah, he's never been shy about that stuff.
There were some really cool experimental shots, especially like there was one of the shots where it was like following behind the X-Wing.
Oh, yeah, I love the camera on top, attached to the X-Wing as it's making it a bank turn. Oh, it looks so great.
That was cool.
I love the whole like the first flight of the Millennium Falcon in Jakku. So much fun. I loved her wrecking it into everything. It was so much fun.
Okay, so we're going to talk about this later. I don't remember seeing it in the movie, but in Disneyland in Star Tours 2.0, they've added a Force Awakens Jakku level to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
At one point, you're following the Millennium Falcon, right? It stopped. It goes vertical and then shoot. And then it goes back.
So that
happens in the movie.
I don't remember seeing that in the movie.
Yeah, because she
pulls a bank because the gun gets stuck.
And oh,
she
that's right.
And he can't shoot.
Okay, yeah,
it's
yeah,
locked
yeah.
in
you
the
really weren't paying attention.
I was like,
you were just amazed.
You're like, Star Wars.
That's why I needed to see it again.
He gets damaged and the cannon gets locked. He says it's locked in the forward position. I can't move.
That's right. Okay,
and
I remember that.
At the very end, she bails out of the sort of like Star Destroyer. She stalls out.
Right.
And when she stalls it out, it kicks up and he gets the shot.
But in Star Tours, it just looks like it could just go to vertical mode and just shoot.
I also loved how, like, even though it's supposed to be really futuristic, where when they're in the Millennium Falcon, it like they're messing with like a very analog type machine.
Yeah.
Like him trying to like swing in the chair.
No, it's old school technology. They proved that.
Yeah. It was like, I don't even know how to use this.
I love that all the same shit that was in the Millennium Falcon way back when is still there.
Yeah. Especially, even the crappy.
He's
like,
talking. He's got
missile
the little training ball thing that Luke
has. Oh, that was great. Like, yeah, he tosses it to the side.
The chess piece. Turns it on. He's like, I don't want to play this. Turns it off.
Were the dice there? I didn't even think about that until just now.
The dice?
I'm not sure.
There's a tiny pair of like chrome dice in the Millennium Falcon, like rearview mirror dice.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing that either.
I wasn't paying enough attention to be able to.
I didn't even think about it until just now. But yeah, in the original series, there was.
But did you notice that the Millennium Falcon's radar dish is been fixed and now it's different?
Yeah.
I noticed that when the trailer came out a year ago.
I noticed that when the toys came out. I was like, they added a new dish.
Because it got knocked off
in Return.
Return of the Jedi, yeah.
Yeah. I actually.
Continuity.
A friend of mine who also saw Star Wars the same night as I did. He said he didn't like the story about how the Millennium Falcon just shows up. I actually kind of enjoyed about how it was stolen from one guy, from another guy, to another guy, and Han Solo and Chewie's been looking for it ever since.
I totally dug that. It's a smuggler's ship. It's been passed. I mean, Han Solo got it from Lando. Where did Lando get it from?
I like from that people along the way have continued to make modifications, which that's what Han Solo says. I made a lot of special modifications to it myself. Mm-hmm. Well, so has everybody else who's had a hand on it since then, and they've all fucked it up.
She just tears out a piece of the Millennium Falcon. He's like, what'd you do? I tore it out.
I bypassed it.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. I want a comic book series about the origin story of Millennium Falcon.
That would be
really
a lot
want.
Of fun, I think.
Millennium Falcon origins.
Yeah, dude, that would be awesome. Like, even before Han Solo even touches it.
The character that was in the movie that owned the Millennium Falcon they stole it from was Simon Pegg.
Well, he stole it from someone else, and they stole it from someone else, and they stole it from
Han Solo.
Let's
talk about some of the cameos in the movie. So, of course, Simon Pegg was that character. The scene where Rey was being interrogated and she forced mind controlled that
the first
stormtrooper.
Time she uses her abilities.
That was.
I kind of loved. I like that
you know
scene
who,
a lot.
You know who that was?
Well, I know, but before, when I was watching it, I didn't know who it was.
Daniel Craig.
Did he get a credit?
He did no credit. I mean, J.J. Abrams came out and admitted that was him. Because Simon Pegg came out months ago and said that. Yeah, he was in the movie. And then, like, there was some interview with Simon or Daniel Craig recently. And they're like, so are you in the new Star Wars movie? He's like, now, why would I do that? Why would I do an uncredited scene in a Star Wars movie? why would I do that?
I'm James fucking Bond.
Exactly. Well, it's better than the last James Bond movie, that's for damn sure.
I bet it was. I bet he had more fun doing the Star Wars than he did doing the James Bond movie.
And so the weird thing about the voices of BB-8, which is weird. I saw this when I saw the credits. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So Bill Hader, and I can't think of the other guy's name. He was on Parks and Rec for a while. But apparently, they had this voice modulator thing that J.J. Abrams had, and then they would have him do their lines, make noises through this modulator to get BB-8's vocals.
Let's talk about how great BB-8 was.
BB-8's if fun. I came home from the movie because my...
Y'all should go get your BB-8 right now and eat them while we're talking.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to eat it. It's too pretty.
No, you have to eat it.
Why do I have to eat it?
You have to eat it head first.
Is that what she said?
There's like M&Ms in that shit, man. It's good.
Oh, okay.
It's good.
But when I came home, because my wife hasn't seen it yet, I took our older daughter to go see it, and she loved BB-8.
Yeah.
We got out, and I was like, well, what was your favorite thing in the movie? BB-8. Okay, who was your favorite character? BB-8. Like, everything.
Like, well, she loved BB-8. Stupid cute and fun.
And when I got home, and I told Val, I said, if R2-D2 was ever cute, BB-8 is fucking adorable.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, they knew what
so
they were
much
doing.
More emotion in his little beeps and boops than R2-D2 ever
and
did.
Plus, it's the head tilts and the turns.
Yeah,
and
I mean, he really has a personality and has empathy and seems to have emotions more so than R2-D2.
I mean, look, they knew that was going to be a cash cow for that character because they had toys for BB-8 before anything else from this movie. They had that was like the first thing that you actually saw from the movie. Like, oh, look, we have this cute robot coming out.
Well, and what was
want to buy some shit?
Poe Dameron said he's one of a kind.
Yeah.
So, and it's his robot.
Like, right.
I don't think it belonged to anybody else. So it makes me think that, did he design it or did someone else design it?
Well, they talk about that there are other BB units.
Yeah, because they say BB models. Or
yeah, there are other BB units out there, but his is the only one that has that coloration.
Oh, the orange and white?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's why BB-8 specifically was so high profile, because
he's
easy to identify.
The orange and white of the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah. What about Chewie?
Chewie
had a great like time in this movie. Like,
I was hoping Chewie would look a little bit older, a little bit more grayer.
I thought about that too.
I don't think Wookiees age as humans do.
I mean, what about Grandpa?
They age in reverse dog years.
Apparently,
it wasn't a Christmas special. So
every
Chewie
7 years,
Chewie wasn't just sitting there jerking off in the Millennium Falcon all the time. He's having a great time.
Fuck my family for Christmas.
I don't want to give back to that shit. You see my family? Look at him.
I'm too busy dicking around with Han Solo.
My kid's name is fucking Lumpy. Come on.
You see how fucked up his teeth look?
My grandfather, my fucking father sits in the living room and jerks off to weird porno.
Exactly. To like women in shiny dresses.
I really feel like Chewie kind of stole the show though.
Yeah, it's
every
totally.
Scene he was in, it was
my only
amazing.
So the scene after
him
Han,
and Han Solo together though, it's a perfect. They were perfect marriage in that whole movie.
He showed more emotion when Han got frozen in carbonite than that scene. I don't know, something weird. I was like, there should have been something more, but it was like action right after that, so he had to escape.
What are you talking about? When Han Solo kicked the bucket?
Yeah.
Nah, man. He like freaked out and shot everybody.
I know, but
he raged.
He didn't do like an emotional reaction.
He blew everyone the fuck up.
Well, he did kill like 14 stormtroopers on his way out.
And then blew the fucking place up. I mean, what else would you want? I would kill somebody like that for you, Kara, if you got stabbed in the heart by a lightsaber.
I appreciate that.
Just, yeah.
I didn't see him kick the bucket. I saw him fall off the
bridge. Well, had they been handrails, he totally wouldn't have fallen off.
So
that's just my opinion.
Do we need
to
talk about that?
Put fucking handrails on bridges. Come on.
They're not going to do that.
No,
if they do, they better not.
What?
They better not pull a Deus Ex Machina and like...
Right.
Bring Han Solo back?
Yeah, they need...
No,
yeah.
I think he's totally gone.
Yeah.
Oh, another perfect part...
Did y'all cry all in the movie? Did y'all get emotional?
I got a little emotional about how happy I was to see another Star Wars, but I didn't really cry when Han Solo died.
I teared up when Leia first came on the screen. I gotta admit it.
Really?
Like, yeah, I was like, oh my god! Like,
did you get a hard on?
No, I mean not like that.
oh Leia!
I love that gilf look.
I know she still has that outfit.
I don't think it fits anymore.
No. Just when Han and Leia were reunited for the first time, I mean
it was really sweet.
It was.
Their banter together was very.
You could tell they were still in love. They couldn't be together. You know.
Yeah. Well, they felt a rift whenever they lost their son.
Yeah. I mean, they'll do it. I'm sure.
But no, when the music started, and Star Wars popped up on the screen, I was
I got a little misty eyed at that part too.
Did you watch Big Bang Theory this week?
Yes.
No.
They did the whole Star Wars crawl in the beginning of it.
Well, I mean, the whole thing they did was funny. I mean, Will Wheaton coming in and making fun of it and all that. But honestly, the way they looked at the end after they had seen the movie, that's exactly how I looked. They're all laying in their chairs like they just climaxed. They're like...
How many people waited in the theater for an after Marvel credit scene?
I did.
I did too.
I watched
did
the whole credits. Yeah. I knew there was something at the end.
I know
but
so too.
I also
I really needed to pee.
If I enjoy a movie, I sit through the credits anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's how I found out about Bill Hader.
Me too. Yeah. I was like, oh look, Bill Hader, what the fuck? So I came home and looked it up. I'm like, who else in this movie? That was cool. They brought Ninyum back.
Yeah.
So actually now the movie's out, we need to get the actor. His name is Mike Quinn, who I used to work with him in a company. He's agreed to be on the show. So now that the movie's out, we can talk about it. We'll have to schedule him at the beginning of the year to come on the show.
Admiral Akbar was in it.
Admiral Akbar. It was not a trap. He's on Star Tours.
He's very raspy in this movie.
He's older.
We watched the He-Man movie today.
Yeah.
And there's one part where Courtney Cox character goes, "It's a trap!"
And they stole that from Star Wars.
We were live tweeting, oh, they stole a lot from Star Wars. The scene where Skeletor dies and he like falls into the pit just like the Emperor. It's like
spoiler, wait, what?
Exactly like the Emperor. But I live tweeted and I was like, Julie Akbar says it's a trap.
Nice.
C-3PO has a red arm. Yeah, and he says, oh, you might see I have a red arm.
He was like, you didn't recognize me.
Because of my red arm.
I thought that was a perfect C-3PO-ism, though. Like, yeah. I thought that was right.
Hey, it's me. Don't you remember me?
But I mean, I understand for time, and they didn't want to put him too much in the movie. But
That's a good point about time. Do you think there's footage or scenes that were shot that are not in the movie?
Oh, sure.
I'm sure there is, but we will never see it.
No, you will. Blu-ray, dude.
I don't know. Because no. JJ's been pretty consistent. Like, whatever's a final cut in theaters is his final cut.
There's got to be some deleted scenes. Maybe not the first one, but maybe 2 years, 3 years, when the new movie comes out.
Maybe.
Episode 8. They're like, oh, look, you already bought the Blu-ray. Time to buy it again, because here's some deleted scenes you didn't see before. They'll pull them out sometime, trust me.
Yeah, I think so. I think probably so.
Maybe.
It's Disney now, too.
So I mean, definitely. The original cut of this movie was almost 4 hours long.
I want to see that cut.
I mean, you can expect an HD version of the Christmas special sometime in the next 4 or 5 years.
No, that will never happen.
If they get money off of it, they'll sell it.
I don't think they have the copyright for a lot of shit in that.
Was it weird for anyone not seeing the 20th Century logo Fox in the beginning of the movie?
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until just now.
Really?
Yeah.
And then also seeing a Bad Robot production at the end.
That was cool.
I was like, wow, that's weird. For me, it was weird.
Let's go around the dais real quick. So, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Last final thoughts?
It's not the best Star Wars movie, but it's
not the worst.
But it's pretty damn fun. Oh, it's by far not the worst.
Okay, so let's go around, but I want to sort of rank them how the movies.
Like in Star Wars?
Mm-hmm.
Like which one's best?
Mm-hmm.
I had to chew on this one for a while.
Yeah, I have to see it another time to give that a full honest opinion.
See, I've thought about this a lot.
Yeah.
We discussed this already on my show. I think
your show. What's your show?
Comical Podcast.
Okay.
Where's that at? Comicalpodcast.com or on iTunes or on Stitcher or on SoundCloud. I honestly think it's the most fun Star Wars movie.
But it's not the best.
But it's probably not the best.
Yeah.
I think it's the weakest plot line, in my opinion.
It is the weakest plot line, but the characters they introduce are so much more interesting.
But you gotta look at this movie as an origin. It's a setup for the other movies.
Yeah, I said that when we first started talking about it. I think this is a great reintroduction to the world of Star Wars.
Yeah.
A lot of the critics that came out and gave the initial reviews after the world premiere said that this was probably the second best behind Empire.
I can see that.
I kind of agree with that.
I would actually put this in tie with Return of the Jedi, because Return of the Jedi, because I rewatched all the movies.
I rewatched Return before.
Yeah,
I went
to go see the new one, and I forgot how fun Return of the Jedi was.
I've always loved Return of the Jedi.
Like, I have too.
It's so fun, and so many more locales in Return of the Jedi than you see in most of the other movies.
I remember being annoyed by the Ewoks, but I guess as I got older, it's like, oh, they're kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I mean...
They're midgets in costume. Look at that.
And children. They had children,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true. They did have children.
In my opinion, I would feel pretty confident saying this is the second best movie.
Yeah.
And that Empire is probably the first.
So isn't it funny that New Hope is not number one?
I don't think New Hope's number one on very many people's list.
It's, yeah, usually the last on my list. Or, I mean, well, if we rank it in the... Yeah,
really?
I don't even acknowledge the prequels.
No. Okay, fine.
Really? You want to acknowledge the prequels? Like, I had this conversation.
There's good scenes in the prequels, but not good movies.
The prequels itself is a good idea. Like, there's great ideas
Ideas in the prequels, and they're all really poorly executed.
Exactly. That's okay, the problem.
The music in the prequels is
great. Yes, the music in the prequels is very good.
We'll talk about in a little bit. They have a show where it used to be Captain EO is, but it's a 10-minute, like, quick show called The Pass of the Jedi, right? And they mix shots from all six movies into like a cohesive story of like, it's really the story. All the movies are a story about Luke. And it really sort of makes sense where they take scenes from those prequels and mix them in with like stuff from the movies and stuff from the original trilogy. And I'm like, okay, seeing it in that concept and that in that way, they make a little bit more sense. But if you watch them as a whole, like one, two, and three together, it's like, okay, who cares about the political shit? Who cares about this? There's too much fluff.
I don't mind the political stuff. I think it's interesting, especially because you have the galaxy in a state of
civil unrest
of
and
decay,
all that. Yeah.
And the politics, I think, are interesting. Like I said, the concepts and the ideas in the prequels are great.
The right amount of time to them.
I like the politicking more in the Clone Wars series.
They keep distracting you with shit like Jar Jar and Anakin, his nonsense relationship. But
have you watched Have you watched it from the point of view that Jar Jar is a Sith Empire Lord?
That is totally my headcanon now.
Yeah,
yeah, that's how I take it as now. Like, that totally makes more sense.
That is my headcanon now, and it makes it
Misa
much
fucking
less annoying.
With you.
It makes it a whole lot less annoying when
I
think of it that way.
It does make a lot more sense. Because apparently that was Lucas's original plan, and he changed it with everyone's like huge backlash between episode two.
I read about some of that, and I felt like you could interpret Lucas's words that way, but you could.
Or is that him just backpedaling, saying like, oh, I didn't really fuck up. I just wanted to make him into a villain.
No, I didn't... Like I said, I feel like you could interpret what his words were to mean that he had intended to make Jar Jar a villain, and then he decided not to. But he doesn't explicitly state that. It's not explicit enough, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it's still my headcanon because it makes it a lot more interesting.
It makes it just a tad more bearable.
Okay, so George, your final thoughts on the movie?
It's stupid fun, man. It's amazing. And it's a great time to be alive for like any kind of movie right now. And
some good movies coming out.
I mean, think back to the 90s when they re-released the Star Wars in theaters, the special edition, of course. And that was like my first like theatrical brush with Star Wars. And that's when I became a real huge fan of Star Wars. And just to see this kind of craziness for it again.
I thought the added CGI scenes were amazing back then. Now I hate them.
Yeah, now they just don't make any fucking sense. But I don't know. It's just amazing to see Star Wars again on a big screen and see everyone kind of crazy about it again.
Well, and that it, because we didn't really comment on this, that it feels like it. I've said this when I was talking to one of my friends about it. And I said that they created a Star Wars movie that feels lived in again because, and I, the term I use was that after the prequels, everything in the prequels felt like it was fresh out of the package.
Yep.
The whole world felt fresh out of the package and it didn't work. But this feels like a lived in Star Wars universe again.
Do you think it's because really they shot this on film and then also use a lot more practical effects with the exception of all the space battles and stuff? Do you think that has a lot to do with it?
The practical effects help a lot. Can you imagine? Like, it was amazing when we found out that BB-8 was a practical effect.
Oh, yeah.
When they were like, here's this droid, isn't it cool? Guess what? It's real.
There's like eight different models of it that they use.
And everybody went, oh, my God, that's a real thing that they put. But after watching the movie, I'm like, this couldn't have worked if he wasn't real. You know,
it would have been hard to,
leaving tracks in the sand as it rolled and like all those little, you know, how
nuances,
how it interacted with the world around. I was like, this is so great that this is a real thing, and it really makes it feel real.
I think it would be hard to feel emotions for it if it wasn't physically there.
And Justin?
I completely agree. I think all that stuff added to the feeling that the movie gave you.
I can't wait to see it again.
I mentioned this before. I was sort of on the fence about how I feel about this movie, but now that we've had this discussion, I'm like, I really fucking enjoyed that movie.
It's a fun time.
Aren't you just saying I really missed a lot?
I did. Apparently.
It's always a second viewing is always the best one.
Yeah, I'm going to go again this week before Christmas, so probably on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
That'll be my day.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it again. It's just a fun movie. Yeah, the plot's kind of but it kind of has to be for a reintroduction. I just kind of wish they didn't do another Death Star.
Well, I mean, you got to wonder what they're going to do for the episode 8. I mean, is it going to be like the sun?
It is a galaxy.
Sun killer base.
You would think the Empire would learn by now. You know, just battleships.
Kylo Ren's going to send a younger version of himself to go kill himself.
Probably.
Let's hope not.
But yeah, so that's our spoiler field review of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
I had to get it out. It's just like...
I did too.
You feel better? Is it off your chest? You feel better now?
A little bit.
I feel a little better too, actually. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about our sponsor real quick.
Yes?
I'm looking at you.
What about me?
Time to do a sponsor.
Oh, so does that mean I have to say the sponsor?
Talk now, George.
Okay.
Talk. Go.
George hates sponsors.
I hate them so much. No.
No, you don't.
No, I love them to death because they are fun. I don't know what to say. Do you like headphones, Carrie?
I do like headphones.
Did you buy any headphones for Christmas?
I have not yet.
You know, there's this place that you can get awesome headphones from.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're a little tweaked, though, but they're tweaked to greatness.
Like Tweak from South Park? Tweaked?
Kind of.
Too much coffee?
Maybe, if you were listening to a certain kind of music.
Too much coffee, man?
So, yeah, there's my little sign-in. You can take it from there, Carrie. I really don't know what else to say from here.
Tell us, where can we go?
We can go to tweakedaudio.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, good.
Very good. So, what happens if we went to tweakedaudio.com? If I wanted to buy a pair of headphones?
Yeah. Would you need headphones?
I do need a pair of headphones,
yeah,
actually.
Because you keep breaking your shit.
No, they're not broken.
You sure?
Yeah.
I see you keep breaking your cell phone and stuff.
My cell? Oh, we're not getting into that.
He doesn't know what happened. He wasn't paying attention.
Right.
So go to tweakedaudio.com, type in the code MetalGeeks, and you can get 30%?
33%.
There you go.
A third off your order.
A third off your order. Free shipping and a lifetime warranty on some awesome headphones.
That's right. Very good. Yep.
They'll honor the warranty, and they make replacements really quick, and they ship really fast as well.
Yes, they do.
They're a sponsor of our show as well.
That's right.
What?
What show?
Comical Podcast.
Where's that at?
ComicalPodcast.com or iTunes or Stitchers or SoundCloud.
So order today and let them know that you are part of the Metal Geek Society.
It's not too late to get it for Christmas.
Nope. Well, maybe.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Christmas isn't like 5 days, dude. So
it's not too late. Yeah. If you order it now.
Get your after Christmas present ready.
They're anytime present.
That's right.
That's a thing, right?
Yes. Thank you. That's that.
George's force is awakened.
That's that Torchy's tacos coming back at you, isn't it?
That's right.
Can you go to the bathroom and be excused for a minute?
Nah, I'll just wipe it on the chair.
Oh, those are my chairs, dude. Don't do that. So, thanks. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 92 of the Metal Geeks Podcast, our spoiler-filled tribute to the movie known as Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. That's a long name to say.
Just to say Force Awakens or Star Wars 7.
Mm, no.
Or just Star Wars. I mean, people know what you're talking about.
Some new Star Wars movie came out. Go see it. It's in the theater.
And
there's going to
be a Star Wars movie for like every year.
The one
year.
Where Han Solo dies. You can just call it that.
Han Solo, the death.
The death of Han Solo.
Before we wrap up, $500 million.
Yes.
Opening weekend.
$500 million.
That is crazy.
Yeah, $513 million.
What was their budget?
Weekend.
Like 200?
200 million.
Well, they had 120.5 million the first night.
Yeah.
How much were their marketing, though? Their marketing must have been like another couple hundred million.
Yeah, but that's Disney, though. They put huge marketing behind everything. Well, this one's a little different, I guess. It's Star Wars. They had BB-8 oranges, for God's sakes.
They did. I got you a fucking BB-8 Rice Krispie white chocolate-covered treat.
That's
from
right.
From Disney.
It's so. Almost too cute to eat.
No,
but
you
keep on
it.
Bugging
delicious.
Me. You have to tell me to get diabetes from it.
Yes. We shared one when we were on the trip. It was great.
All right.
So, yeah, we're going to actually, I think we're going to wrap this episode up. We're going to talk about our trip report on the next episode because Dave has to get back to his family and Justin has to get back to his family. So I think we're going to put a bow on it and call it an episode.
Are we going
to
say like Merry Christmas to everyone? Because I don't think we're back till after the new year, right?
No, George, Carrie's Jewish.
So? Oh, yeah, that's right. But he's Jew-ish.
Happy Jew-ish. Happy holidays. Can you say that?
Yeah.
No, we'll have one more.
Piss
we're gonna...
off Joshua Furstein real good. Happy holidays, motherfucker.
That's right. So whatever you celebrate, be it Christmas or Kwanzaa or Festivus or Hanukkah. Hanukkah's over already. Have a good holiday.
What do you call the Star Wars, the Wookiee holiday?
The
Life Day.
Life Day, yeah.
Is that what they really call it?
Have a happy Life Day. That's what Chewbacca was trying to get home for.
Make sure you have a grandpa moment.
Yeah.
Just get into some VR and watch Sparkling Dances, ladies.
Jerk off in the middle of your family, watching around.
Yeah.
Nothing said his family like jerking off in the living room.
That's the reason why Lumpy looks the way he does. A little bit.
No wonder Chewie just wants to hang out with Han.
This is like, I am your life mate.
Yeah,
forever.
I totally owe you a life debt or something. Well, what's that? Some shit I made up.
Oh, dude,
whatever.
Does that mean that, you know, Han's gone now?
I wonder about that. What happens to Chewie now? Because the life debt thing.
Chewie is now going to be with Rey.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, like
he's the captain of the Millennium Falcon.
Accepting contract offers right now.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, though, Chewie's now, Finn saved his life. Kind of, when he got shot in the arm, right?
He did a poor job of bandaging him. He was bleeding the whole time.
He tried, though. He tried.
Yeah. But, I mean, Chewie went off with Rey at the end of the movie. So I think he's actually now the captain of the Millennium Falcon.
I thought I interpreted as Rey as the captain.
I interpreted it as Chewie.
Really? Seniority, I guess?
He was in the Han seat, wasn't he, when they flew off? Wasn't he?
No, I don't think so. Was he not? Was he?
I don't know.
No, yeah, he was. Yeah.
Maybe he's just going to hang out with Luke from now on.
Luke, it's a lot safer with you. So
hey, remember me?
Also, one thing I forgot to mention, one of my favorite lines from the movie is Han Solo asks Finn, do you have a plan for this? It's like, just use the Force or something. And he's like, that's not how the Force works. I died laughing at that moment. I was like, perfect. It's like Han Solo has embodied an angry fan at that moment.
Right.
And on that note,
he was the living embodiment of thousands of fans going, what the fuck? No.
Oh,
that's
man.
Not the way my George would write it. All right.
On that note, happy holidays, everyone. And until next time, keep it.
Nope. We have not done yet.
Shit.
We haven't told people where to find us. We told people where to find Justin, but not us.
Oh, all right. Want to take the lead on that?
All the social medias, you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Metal Geeks, at Metal Geeks on all those platforms. You can find George.
On Twitter as George Tripsis, or on Instagram, George Trip.
And Dave.
I'm Red Viking Dave on Twitter and Instagram.
On everything.
And one more time, Justin.
On Twitter, I'm at Comical Podcast. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/comicalpodcast. Again, my website is comicalpodcast.com. And you can find me on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, pretty much anywhere that podcasts are available.
That's right. You can find us as well at metalgeeks.net. You can find us on iTunes. Find us, subscribe to us, leave a great review, because you know that's the only way to build the Metal Geek Society up.
Plus, we're awesome.
Plus, we have a lot of other places on the interwebs you can find us. You can find us on cool places like The Blast Syndicate, which is a really cool podcast network, all heavy metal shows. You can find us at Pod Bros, Houston Nerdcasting Collective, Altness.com, Lightning Radio, Nerd Bong, and ESOPodcast.com.
It's a lot.
I'm done.
You have to say that in like one long sentence next time.
I have to look it up on my screen to even remember it all. So I don't think we're going to go there. But thanks for hanging out with me and talking this movie.
Talking Star Wars.
Talking Star Wars. One last thing.
It was such a chore.
I know.
I'm sorry. I really needed to, like,
I really did too. So
like, yeah. Nerd out about
it. I'm sorry it was so painful for you.
Yeah, I'm glad you don't care about spoiling it for people. Like, give me the opportunity to talk about it. We didn't do that on my show. We were just like, yeah, it was good, guys.
No, I needed to talk about it and spoil it and just discuss it with people.
Yeah, this is definitely a real spoiler-full show.
And I think any true fan of the show have already seen the movie, so... Yeah. Sorry. Did we ruin it for you? No. Okay, good.
The voice is in the other room. We have more than one voice in the other room, and one of them has not seen the movie yet, so...
Yeah, we totally ruined it for
you. We didn't. Hopefully we didn't. But thanks for tuning in, and one last thing to say.
Keep it metal.
And...
Keep it geeky.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And balls.
Balls.
Star Wars balls.
Wookie balls.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Do with this one anyway.